when you and I go somewhere, it's usually not like a, all right, here's a deer stand or here's a hunting lodge. It's we're gonna backpack in. There's gonna be 3 feet of snow. We might die. We're probably not gonna see anything, but we're gonna work really hard to not see it.
Welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. This is the podcast for dads of all seasons to learn the things that they can do and engage so that they can go and equip the next generation for success. Here we sit down with everyday dads just like you to learn from their story, get inspired, and then start getting after it. So we invite you to join in, see what you can take away from this story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Hey guys, and welcome to the Skilled Dad Podcast. My name is Zach Reeser. I'm the host of the podcast. And today I'm with probably one of, I would say, my closest friends that I've had in my life. And when we're talking about the skilled dad journey or the journey to becoming the skilled dad, with this gentleman, Mark Hamilton, we, I think, demonstrated what it was to be unskilled while looking good on the way to becoming more skilled, if that makes sense. Does that make sense to you?
I think I can sign off on that. Yeah.
I'm thinking still primarily
along that continuum.
I'm thinking primarily of our first ventures into the Colorado mountains as we were hunting after big game. And
yeah,
we might've looked pretty, but, we didn't walk away with anything except some good stories, but Mark,
memories. Yeah.
I'm glad. Thanks for joining me today, man. How are you?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Doing well. Doing well. Excited to be on here.
So for Mark, for those that don't know about you, I'm going to share a little bit about you first. So, you know, okay. I can set the table and then you could just take it away from there.
Sounds good.
But as I said, Mark and I both started that dad phase at the same time. He was a little ahead of me, so I got some spark notes from him as to you know, what maybe I should do and maybe some things, you know, not to do. So thank you for that. But
absolutely,
guys, if you're out there and you've got some really close families away from family, you know, friends are oftentimes, they say, the family that you choose. Mark and his wife and eventually their kids were, you know, he's known as Uncle Mark to our kids and Aunt Jenny to our kids. And it's just such an awesome thing to have some friends that you can go through life with and experience a lot of different phases. And what was that, Mark? Dude, that was, it's coming on 10 years.
It's a long time.
When we started that.
It's quite a while.
It's quite a while. So, you know, you get to know people fairly well. But Mark is, I would say, probably one of the best listeners that I've met, as well as one of the best jokesters that I've met in many different ways. But Mark, we don't talk necessarily a whole lot about like the things that we do professionally, because we're focused on who we are as men, mm-hmm. as dads, as husbands. And sometimes the professional side will change from time to time, but we are the constant going on our life. You've done a lot of things professionally. I'm going to bring up this where you've helped a lot of young men along the way too. So I'm just going to throw the softball out to you and say, tell us a little bit about Mark Hamilton.
Okay. Whew. That was a pretty good intro. Starting with the family side, I have wife, two kids, 7 and 4 currently. We just recently moved to Ohio. Back where we're both from originally, from Colorado. We're out there for about 11 years. So adjusting to that transition currently, but it's going well so far.
Can I talk about that transition real quick?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So you live in Denver. How long were you guys there? 11 years?
11 years. Yeah.
Okay. So you're there 11 years. We were there for the 8.5. Traffic started to build up in Denver. Some of it was construction. It's growing. I mean, we lived in a big, like the largest planned community in the US. And so you get behind some brake lights and cars. So I get a call this morning saying, hey, is it okay if we start this just a little bit later? I took the kiddos to where they were going, and I'm stuck in traffic. I'm like, oh, okay. And moved to Ohio. I didn't realize it was like Denver, right? Yeah, that's not a problem. It actually worked out for me. I was making eggs for my son. And he said, yeah, I've got a tractor in front of me. And he's going about 15 miles an hour. So you've had a transition. So hopefully we've got people on both spectrums that can understand the red light and then also the red triangle.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely one of those mornings where it reminded me, okay, I'm a little more rural now, a little different change of pace. I just got to sit back here and take in the sights as I'm puttering along. So
there's tip number one. If you're sitting in traffic, regardless of what's around, you just take in the sights and sit back for a minute.
Yeah, which I'm not sure how I did it. That I was kind of losing it, but made it.
Call a friend. That's what it
is. Yeah. Yeah, that worked out. Other parts about me professionally, I'm a counselor. I do mental health and addictions counseling. And that'll probably flavor a bit of what I talk about and how I see the world. But that's definitely a part of my story, who I am and what I do. Work with a lot of teens, work with a lot of families, do a lot of parenting stuff with families, which has been interesting as that has kind of paralleled my own parenting. And figure out, okay, I've been telling people this for years now. Now I actually have to do it as well. And that's sometimes interesting to see the crossover there.
I think that could apply to all of us.
Yeah.
To a degree, even when we tell our kids not to do something, it's like, stop yelling while we're yelling.
Yeah. Hypocrisy often shows up pretty quickly in parenting. It's like, ooh, I need to watch that as well.
Yeah. So if anybody out there hears that we're not always perfect, that's why we have this podcast, is that we're learning that we're all becoming better. So yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Constant progression, hopefully, but definitely not at any end goal of, amazing dad skills of next levelness or whatever. Yeah.
I mentioned you work with a young man. You mentioned you work with a lot of families, things like that. Before, you've got your own practice now.
Yep.
And I remember, was that 6 years ago that you started that?
I think seven now.
Seven? Yeah. Wow. I remember when we bought your website.
Yeah. Yeah. You actually paid for it the first time. That was your gift to me for starting my own business, was you were the website aficionado and hooked me up with that.
Best $10 I could have ever spent. So
much appreciated still.
I need to make sure I'm not still paying for that, actually, because
pretty sure I took over on that.
Okay. But just checking.
Either way, thank you.
but you started that, and that's a big leap. Like to go from where you were and then going into your own business. But before you went into own business, you were working with in the corrections zone, right? With youth corrections. So you got to see a lot of things. And when it comes to like the impacts that dads have.
Yeah.
You got a front row seat to sometimes what can happen and how challenging it can be if there isn't like that strong male role model in the household, right?
Yeah, especially in that setting in youth corrections, it's kind of the extremes of everyday life. But it's like this hyper version of parenting impact, where when you have these really extreme cases, it's really obvious that, man, if there were one strong male role model in this young man's life, we wouldn't be here.
Was it that? I mean, I've not been in that experience, like actually in it. There's always exceptions. Every story is different than everybody has, Was it pretty apparent though? Like when there was kind of that missing link, so to speak?
Yeah. And like you said, every story is different. And there were definitely cases where, there was a strong, healthy dad involved and kid just took a different turn and things didn't go right. But that is pretty rare. Mm-hmm. The vast majority are guys who are just so hungry for any sort of role model, leadership. And they found it always, but it wasn't always in a healthy spot, whether it's gangs or, the wrong crowd, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's definitely not any one size fits all statements for any group of people, but that's one that applied to a lot of the kids that were in there.
Mm.
Definitely lacking the dad impact.
Yeah. And I remember some of the stories for what you could share during that time. And now you're in your own practice, and the mental health space for the last few years, especially seems to have really expanded and blown up. And it's good that I have your cell phone number just so I can, hey, get some good jokes from you, but then also have the sound mind of a friend that has some of that background just to talk with and different perspective. So back to looking at some of the dad skills, you've got two kiddos.
Yep.
And I know them well.
Yeah. You mentioned I'm Uncle Mark to yours. Your Uncle Zach to mine. So similar roles.
Over the last couple of years, they've grown exponentially and haven't seen him as much, just a couple times a year. So one thing about Mark and his wife that I always loved and was always like inside, I was like, I want to do more of that. Okay. I could have done more of that, but I didn't. Don't really necessarily know why, but they were always taking advantage of the best that Colorado had to offer, backpacking it up, throwing in the tent, getting out there, hiking the 14ers. And if you don't know what 14ers are, how many is there? 52 mountains in Colorado,
depending on how you count them, but yeah, 52 or 56 mountains that go over 14,000 feet.
Okay, well, we can stir up a debate and a poll for those who know how many 14ers are in Colorado, but they've climbed a lot of them. You did a bunch of crazy running ultra marathon things, but the you and I talked about this earlier, the sense of adventure and going out, but you were also taking the kids out with you and giving them a flavor of that.
It's definitely been an area of change, of growth, of challenge, where for my wife and I, that was always a big part of our relationship, was we did adventurous stuff together. It was one of the reasons we moved to Colorado, was we wanted to go play in the mountains. And for our first couple of years where we didn't have kids, that's all we did. Every weekend we would go climb a mountain. Friday after work, we would throw all of our stuff in the car, go camp at a trailhead, climb a mountain the next day, maybe two, then come home. And that was kind of life. Mm-hmm. And that part of adventure, that seeking of adventure, has always been a key driver in our relationship, in my life personally. And so that's been a big, I guess, learning edge when it comes to being a dad, of how to keep that sense of adventure alive with kids. Because there are a lot of things we did that would not be okay to take kids on. probably not legal to take kids on. We didn't for most of those. There were a few things. I had a baby in a carrier for that might've been questionable. But I think being able to find the adventure in being a dad has been really important for me. And whether that's doing a scaled down version of the same type of an adventure with kids, or just finding the adventure in parenting and being able to scale down like a bite-sized taste of adventure that you can fit in with a parenting and work schedule. And that's been, when we do it well, it's amazing. When we don't do it well, there's kind of a void in our lives.
Mm-hmm. When you had the kids and you could strap them into the carrier and go on your adventures, and then they start getting into the school zone, you start a practice.
Yep.
Yeah. The term busy comes up a lot, or some people use the term chaos. Our goal is to put in systems that can reduce that chaos.
Yeah.
But as that goes, and as the kids get older, how have you maintained that element of adventure, since that's an important element for your family?
I think it starts with priorities. It's something that my wife and I recognize we need to prioritize, and it shows up on our calendars. It's something we're scheduling in, both with my work. I have some flexibility owning my own company, but there are certain days that are are blocked off for family time, for family adventure, for family. I'm spending this with my kids, with the whole family. And I think unless there's that prioritization, it's not going to happen. Life has a way of filling all the empty spaces. We've talked about that in a physical sense with moving. We're moving to a slightly larger house and we're like, oh, we're going to fill it up with stuff because that's nature. Whatever the container will fill it. Mm-hmm. And I think our schedules are very similar of, you know, if there's a gap, something's going to take it up. Mm-hmm. So if it's not penciled in, if it's not written down, it's going to get filled in by something random. So I think that's the first one, just making sure it's prioritized.
Have you found that you guys have been able to do that well?
Yes and no is my very clear, definitive answer. There have definitely been seasons where we do it well, and there have been seasons where we do not. And our happiness and health as a family is much better when we prioritize that. And it's not that adventure is this necessary element in everybody's lives, but I think for us, it was recognizing this is something our family needs. This is something we need to have cohesion, to have interest, to be excited about each other. And when we've been able to do that, it's awesome.
Yeah. And I know you guys love that. And I had to verify this. Have you heard of Parkinson's Law?
No.
Okay. So this is a good, regardless of what you do during the day professionally, you talked about filling up the house. There's probably like a different law.
Yeah, I'm with sure a similar written on that.
Yeah, like a similar definition. But Parkinson's Law is that work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion.
Hmm.
So yeah. If you have an open calendar, so I've used different systems. There's a couple systems that I've found over the years that have worked best for me. Writing things down for me, so actually taking the time to sit and transcribe and actually write stuff down, helps me to actually saturate it in. And then I'll take that and put it in my calendar and block out my calendar and use it as a scheduling tool. Because if I have that open space, for me, it's going to either get filled with good stuff or it's going to just get filled with something that may not be productive towards whatever goal. So I use the Full Focus Planner. That's from Michael Hyatt. To write stuff down, and it helps break down the big threes. So you look at what's your big three of, you know, your week that's coming up, and then each day, what are your big threes within that day? It helps you actually get towards the goal. But Parkinson's Law essentially is saying, if you got space, it's going to get filled. So if you give yourself 2 weeks on a project, it probably is going to take 2 weeks. You're going to find a way to expand it out.
Yeah. And it's interesting. As you talked about that, it struck me that there's a ton of research into this concept in the business world, professional world, leadership world. Like these are all concepts a lot of guys are going to be familiar with. But then when we take that into a parenting mode, into a dad mode, it's exactly the same thing. Our brains work the same. Our schedules work the same. And it's so easy to think, oh, I'll do that later. Or, you know, we'll squeeze that in sometime this weekend, or, you know, I've got some time off there. And I think if parenting is done in the margins, it's never going to feel like a priority if it's squeezed in as an afterthought. And that's been something that's been really important in my journey as a dad, of realizing this is something I want to prioritize above almost everything else. And granted, there are times where I can't just drop work. I mean, working is a way I prioritize my family as well. But as far as that actual spending time with kids, for our family specifically, chasing adventure together, that's something that has to be one of the big three. Like you said, it's got to be something that we've prioritized in each unit of time. And when we do that, we are much healthier, much happier.
Yeah. And I'm glad you guys like know that. Sometimes if we don't have that vision for our family or know the things that help bring joy in those, we'll call it the margins, or in the time that we have as a family, then we're not going to probably get them done if we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, the wind in your sail doesn't matter if you don't have a destination, as they say.
True.
So that's awesome that you guys know that. Go ahead.
For us, one of the important terms we kind of made up was our shift from macro beauty to micro beauty. Ooh. So when we were doing adventures in the wilderness, going climbing mountains, my wife and I usually had a macro destination. We're going to summit this peak. We're going to get to this alpine lake. We're going to put this many miles in or do this big thing. And even in the early stages with kids, we were still able to do that of, I'm going to throw a kid on my back and we're going to go hike to this thing. And it's not as extreme, not as crazy, but we're still able to do that. The moment you start hiking with a toddler, that goes out the window real fast. But that slowed pace helped us really do more of seeing the world through the kids' eyes.
Yeah.
And found that they didn't really care about this soaring vista, the huge mountain, the towering peaks. It was, check out this cool plant. Check out this cool bug. And being able to see the little things along the way, which is probably some metaphor in there with all of that. But being able to see the micro beauty and focus on the things that are around you, that was a really important shift for me, especially. My wife is a little more automatic at that, but for me, it took some intentionality to at least push pause on the, okay, we're going to climb that mountain or we're going to go do this thing. But when I'm with my family, being able to enjoy the micro beauty, what's the stuff around me right now? What's the little thing? What is it that my 3-year-old, my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old is excited about right now? And that helped me be excited about it as well.
That's really good. That I like that macro beauty versus micro beauty. It makes me think of just on a daily application basis, how often you hear about looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah.
Or I've got a vacation coming up. And it's important to have those things to look forward to. Are we also missing some of the things that are right in front of us?
Yeah.
So I like that.
Totally agree.
Visual of kind of the mountains versus the bug.
Yeah.
Because the mountains are the vacation, the mountains are the weekend. There's the freedom, the exploration, the whatever you're going to get into. Bed Bath and Beyond, if you have enough time. But then you've got the cool bug every day.
Yeah.
And a couple of the discussions I've had with some guys, the concept of power of moments, of monitoring the moments has popped up. Yeah. And I think that applies here too. So I really like that macro beauty versus micro beauty.
And like you said, I think it's still so important for me, at least, to have both. But the macro beauty comes naturally to me. I don't have to be intentional about wanting to climb a mountain or looking forward to a vacation or, you know, doing the big thing.
Yeah.
I still need that. I still need time away from my kids. I still need to go do something that they can't and enjoy that. That's why I got into trail running and doing that, because I could go do the mountain stuff quicker. I have this short window of time. Let me go try to climb a mountain. I better start running to get there. So I think it's still important to have macro, but I think for most of us, and maybe this is me assuming other people think the way I do, but I think macro beauty is pretty obvious. We don't need to be told, we don't need to be reminded to get excited about a mountain or a vacation, like those big things. But being intentional about, oh yeah, I better focus on this thing right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Better see what my kid's excited about right now. I learn to get excited about that too. And that's been a big component of keeping the adventure in our family, keeping our identity secure.
I'm glad you brought that up about you, because I was going to ask, you know, as dads, also as men, that sense of adventure is oftentimes inherent within us. That's why so many shows seem to be so popular with, you know, the fishing and deep sea crab fishing and all of the things, Meat Eater, which is a great show.
Yes.
So as a man who is running a business, being a husband, being with our kids and helping form them and model them and lead them, what do you do for yourself to keep yourself in the right space and sharp and fulfill that sense of adventure?
Yeah. Well, I think I'll try to answer that and keep the continuity of the macro micro thing. So on a macro level, I think that's a lot of the defining moments in your and my relationship even have been those moments of, all right, let's leave our families for a little while. Let's go do something insane. And so that's been over the years, hunting trips or some kind of backcountry adventure. And just for a little backstory, when Zach and I have gone on hunting trips, when you and I go somewhere, it's usually not like, all right, here's a deer stand or here's a hunting lodge. It's we're going to backpack in. There's going to be 3 feet of snow. We might die. We're probably not going to see anything, but we're going to work really hard to not see it. And I think more than filling a tag or being successful on a hunt, it really, for me, checks that need for keeping myself healthy. It's a total pursuit of adventure, go have the wild side. And you're right. Like, you just have to look at what's popular with shows among guys. And it's all something that helps us reclaim that innate need for adventure, I think.
Yeah.
And so on a macro level, always having something like that every so often of, you know, a trip with guys, trip by myself, climbing a mountain, going hunting, you know, whatever it is that you're into, I think people need to pursue that thing in an individual type of way at times.
Yeah.
And then I think on a micro level, kind of like you were saying, the more frequent hits of it, so to speak, instead of like the big dose occasionally, that's almost a drug reference, also an addictions counselor, so whatever. I think finding ways to get it on a daily basis. Like for me, it's making sure I get some runs in. I'm a runner. I enjoy that. So having that where I can go out and just for a few minutes or an hour or whatever it is, go out for a run and feel good for the day. The other piece is finding a way to meet that adventure side with my kids, with my family still. My son, who's 7, this last year, we did our first backpacking trip together, and he's big into the survival shows that you're talking about. And I gave him the option of, okay, what tent do you want to take? We have this big comfortable tent and we won't be able to hike as far. I've got this little backpacking tent, or I have a tarp. And he chose the tarp. And so we were able to go, we didn't hike far. We went like a mile up this trail in the mountains, but slept under a tarp, and we had figured out some techniques for making a shelter. And probably any serious survival expert would laugh at both of us, but it was a good time, and it was adventurous, and it was, you know, it's pretty safe adventure. If need be, we could run down to the car at any time, but it felt pretty far out there with the 7-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
He had a blast, and so did I.
That's something he's not going to forget, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not going to forget. And that's where I think it's easy as a dad to think of, you know, what does my kid need? But there are things where you can meet what your kid needs while meeting what you need as well. And if you can do both, like, why not?
Yeah. You know, he probably will remember out of that. We'll have to ask him down the road. We're not going to wish time away here, but I've heard this a couple of times and I'm going to use it. Kids spell LOVETIME.
Yeah.
And just the time with you and to learn from you, the basics of sleeping on a tarp. Like that's, and I'm just, how much did that cost you financially to do?
I already have way too much camping gear, as you know. So none of that had to be purchased. I think probably half a tank of gas.
Yeah.
Is about the total financial involvement.
So the investment there is time.
Yeah.
But the prioritization and the system you got in place to help make that a priority and do it. It's going to have huge return for him. I want to talk about the one of our hunting stories. And no doubt, like, you and I will do a few more of these as we do it, even if it's just for us, it's just fun. But so you talk about the macro and the, you mentioned the hunting trips, and there might be 3 feet of snow and we might die. Just for clarity, we didn't think any of that when we were going into it. I'm going to lay this out. I'm thinking I could go to a few of them that we had. And guys, when we say hunting, for the most part, we'll talk about elk hunting. So Mark and I had never elk hunted before, but we're in Colorado, we're going to elk hunt, right? So we have our bows and everything. And I'm going to talk about the steamboat one, I think.
Yeah, that's probably best.
So there was no snow involved in this one, but we had for a couple of weeks, like, laid out our plan and had our maps, and we knew where we were going to park and where we were going to hike in. We looked at elevations, or at least we thought we were looking at elevations.
Yeah, perfect plans.
we had this solid plan, right? So we drive up there, we get there, and right where we're going to park is this brand new, very nice gated community. There's no way we're getting anywhere close to where we wanted to be.
Yep.
So all of our elevation planning and everything has now been out the window. So what do? You improvise and overcome.
Yeah.
We drove back up the road, found a spot that we thought was kind of parallel to the spot that we wanted to get to. And it's, what time was it? Like 9 o'clock at night?
Probably. Yeah. Most of our adventures started way too late and under questionable circumstances.
Yeah. No difference here. So it's 9 o'clock at night, and we know there's like a little tiny stream that we have to cross, and okay, cool. So we put on our gear, and we start walking, and then there's this hill that we go down. That's not just a hill. It's down with this 4 foot tall. I don't even know what kind of plant it was. It felt like thorn bushes, whatever.
Yeah, so we're hiking down underbrush.
As we get closer, we start hearing this sound machine kind of hum. I was like, what's that? Yeah, it was the tiny little stream that was like this small epic river.
Yeah.
And we decided to go ahead and cross that. So we made that. And then we're going up this little hill that was not a hill. It was a stinking mountain in the dark. If Bigfoot existed, I'm glad he spared us that night. And I have pictures of this, and they're all just black. And we probably got there like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even probably a mile in.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was painful, but it was like this sense of danger and adventure that you go. And while we're up there, we saw just beautiful things, kind of that macro element that you were talking about. I'm gonna call it the macro adventure.
Yeah.
Definitely,
and then macro.
and then the micro adventure within that is when we had separated and you got chased by an elk.
Oh, moose.
Moose. You got chased by a moose, and yeah. I almost took a baby moose because I thought it was an elk coming through, but it was a Clydesdale. And then mama came right behind him, and I hid like a baby behind a tree.
Yeah. Some exciting moments on that one.
So when we say we've gone hunting for elk, it's more like armed hiking and hiding.
Yeah, a whole lot of that. Well, and I think that as you were talking about that one, I went back to it, like my heart rates went up. So I think about the moose that came out into a clearing and was not happy I was there. That was touch and go for a minute. The other thing though, as we talk about like being in the moment, being where you are, I talk about this with a lot of clients because I work with a lot of people who, if you brought up the idea of traditional meditation or mindfulness, they laugh you out of the room, or they've tried it and it doesn't work for them. And I think there's this concept, everybody in our culture, I think right now, at least has access to the idea that mindfulness is important. It's important to be where you are, be able to focus your mind on the moment. But it doesn't have to be something where you're clearing your mind, reaching the zen-like state. If you do that kind of macro adventure, it forces you to be where you are. Mm-hmm. When I'm staring down I don't know how much a moose weighs, but it's a lot more than me and a lot more than some cars I've owned. I was definitely in that moment. And while we're hiking down this mini Grand Canyon in the dark and hiking back up Everest on the other side, some exaggeration might exist in those statements. I was completely and utterly there.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that's where adventure as a dad is really important, because it's almost like mindfulness training. It forces me to be in the moment. So I'm doing something that if I'm not in the moment, I'm going to get really hurt.
Mm.
And it's the forced mindfulness of it all, I think, is why the macro adventure stuff is so important. That reminder of, I better be here right now. I can't be thinking about work. I can't be thinking about numbers, schedules, anything. It's, how do I survive this?
What about on a, like, if someone, because neither of us have access to those mountains anymore.
True.
And so a tag is much more expensive than what it was then, and yeah, plus a flight, plus all those things. What about some of the things that you and I can do, or someone listening can do, that may not have access to something like that, that can find that adventure? I know one thing that you and I have in common, and I think you do a little bit more, is the woodworking side.
Hmm. Yeah.
And not to be like a stereotypical, like, I'm going to be a man and go woodwork. But it's something we enjoy in the creation, but there's a similar focus and kind of sense of challenge and adventure inherent in that.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
I think, yeah, in a very literal sense, a table saw is very similar to a mountain, in that you better be paying attention. It's going to get your attention, or it's going to take your arm off. So I think whatever it is, whatever the hobby is, and I mean, having just moved back to Ohio from Colorado, that's something that I'm still in the process of figuring out, to be totally honest, of, you know, yeah, what does adventure look like now that I'm back here? Because for the last decade, it's been heading to the mountains and go nuts.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's, you know, fine. I'm still doing trail running. I can still do that. I can still do things that probably more normal people would go like, that's dumb. Why are you doing that? Why are you running that far or that early? And for me, that's how I get that adventure. And like you said, I think things like woodworking or something where there's a creative aspect can have that same sort of immersive experience that helps draw you out of the busyness.
Yeah. This might raise some hairs, but I would argue that normal is dumb.
Oh, I agree.
If we look at what normal really is, I think there's a healthiness in challenging that. Yeah. And wherever you are, there is adventure that can be found, both macro and micro.
Yeah.
What are your interests? What are the things that get you going? And what's a place that you can put yourself in that helps you focus on something that you almost forces you to be in that moment? And there's a training there too, right? And there's always opportunity to do that, but the adventure rarely lives on our couch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not always a long trip. As you said that, it struck me that the adventure that I was taking part in yesterday is my son is learning how to whittle. And
nice.
If you want adventure, give a 7-year-old a pocket knife and that's, he'll get your attention. He's been doing it for a little while, but you know, working on carving some stuff, working here and there. And we're not that great. I actually sliced my finger the other day, so I'm not doing amazing either. But again, it's shared time, and it's somewhere in between micro and macro probably, but just being able to sit out on a deck and whittle a stick with my son.
Yeah.
And find the same stuff for my 4-year-old daughter, of, you know, something that she's learning to do, whether it's fishing in a creek or doing something that she likes, whatever it is, but finding those times to join as a dad in adventure with my kids.
I really like that theme that you've come up with there, the macro beauty versus micro beauty, and the macro adventure versus micro adventure.
Yeah.
And even having those words to use as a tool to look at things differently. And I would throw out there a challenge to you as you're transitioning to your new home, to me and to anybody that's out there that's listening, is what are some of those macro and micro adventures that you can find as both as a dad, but even as a man? Like, who's a friend that you can call up and do something with? What can you do for yourself? Because taking care of yourself is going to be extremely important, as it's going to make you more effective wherever you are. That's a big takeaway for me here.
Well, you mentioned kind of the connectivity of it. And I think that's, as I think back on the things that I've seen as macro adventures, very rarely are they solo. It's typically with somebody else. And from what I know about how guys bond with each other, it's not, all right, let's sit down and have a chat. It's, we're going to do something side by side. And even if words aren't spoken, or if there aren't that many words, we're going to get closer as a result.
Mm. Shared experiences build relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where, when we are prioritizing like the macro adventure, that time alone pursuing whatever it is, even if it doesn't classify as adventure typically, if you can do that with somebody else, that bonds you together.
Yeah.
And I think being intentional about sharing experience with our kids, but also with other men, that keeps us going, makes it sustainable.
Yeah. Makes it more fun too.
Oh yeah. that probably matters.
Yeah. I mean, the stories that we could probably dive into with some of those adventures that we've had are some of, you know, my best memories, and we're going to create some more, but I'm glad that you were open to sitting down with me, taking the time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll do it again sometime. Hey, for those of you that have made it to this point in the podcast, we're glad you're here. We thank you for joining in this discussion with two friends here. And I would love to throw out the challenge to you that after you shut down this podcast, write down a list of the things that you can think of from both a macro column and a micro column that get you going. Even the macro side, like what are the adventures that you've had that have gotten that sense in you that's given you energy, and the daily element of whatever you want to call it, whether it be the chaos, whether it be just the busyness, what are the things that you could actually step back and look at and be like, okay, here's a micro adventure. Here's the micro beauty that you can take in and actually enjoy it. So that's my challenge for everybody here. And if you want to learn more information, you can go to theskilleddad.com. If you've got a story that you want to share with us, you can fill out the form on the website, and we'd love to talk to you and hear your story. And we hope that you can take something from Mark's story. This is just a small portion of your story, and apply to your life on your journey to becoming a skilled dad. Guys, thanks again for tuning in. You're listening to The Skilled Dad.